Well, good morning, church. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here. And so this is a week you're just visiting, maybe you're exploring Jesus, if you're checking out church, maybe if you came to see one of these children be dedicated, just welcome. We're glad you're here. It can be tough to come to a new place. And so if you are new to church, new to Jesus, or just visiting, we're very glad to have you here. And if this is your church home, welcome home. I am one of the pastors here, but I'm not normally at this campus. Normally, I am at our Aldergrove campus. And so I'm excited to be here with you today. I'm excited that we're starting a new sermon series. And as excited as I am that the new sermon series is Advent and Christmas, I'm also excited to be done the old sermon series. If you've been going through it, if you've been here over the last 12 weeks, we've been doing a sermon series based on the 12 steps, much like you would see in AA or Freedom Session, and it has been very, very good, but it has been very, very tough and a lot of work, and I'm thankful that it's Christmas. And so today, I'm here with you, maybe you're visiting as well, and we also have, I'm jumping ahead here, in this new sermon series, called Repeat the Sounding Joy. We're going to take a look at, as Robbie said, the Advent, the coming, unpacking the different themes of this Christmas season, hope, joy, love, and peace. And each week we're also going to be looking at a verse of joy to the world. And so that first verse of joy to the world, it says this, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. So this first verse, it's a reminder of two things. First, Jesus has come, and so there is joy in the world. There's joy in the world because Jesus has come. And so if this is news to you, if this is the first time you have ever considered whether Jesus' coming has made a difference, let me tell you that there is joy in the world because Jesus is here. If you've heard this 1,000 times, may the grace of God make it new to us today that there is joy in the world because Jesus is here. So that's the first truth. The second is our response to him is that we prepare him room. If you've ever had someone come over for supper and you spend the day vacuuming and cleaning your room and getting ready and cooking and cleaning and all of this stuff is done in anticipation to prepare a space, to prepare time for someone who is on their way. And so our response to Jesus, this Lord who is coming and has come, is that Robbie said, the now and the not yet idea, is that we prepare room. We open our lives to welcome him. And so joy to the world. It is also super fun that today is a family Sunday, which means kids are in the service with us. If you're a kid here this morning, just give a woo. Well, it's okay. If you're a kid in the service this morning, give a what? Okay. There we go. So we do have kids in the service, which is great because kids aren't normally here together. And I think there's a couple really, really important things happening right now. It's important we know that there is no junior Jesus. There's no mini Holy Spirit. That kids are invited to be followers of Jesus, to become apprentices of him in the same way that adults are. It's not like you hit an age and you meet real Jesus. But kids and adults alike, all of us together, we are the church. And it's important because we actually have something to learn from the kids. I loved Wood's questions. Why? There's joyful songs? We all need to be doing this. That when you hear joy to the world, you say, joy? In my world? To have these questions that reach out to God, this innocence, it deepens our understanding. Jesus, when he's talking about children in Mark chapter 10, he said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. If you like Greek, Jesus is using the aorist subjunctive with a double negation. If you like playgrounds, what that means is you will never, ever, ever times infinity to the power of infinity enter the kingdom of heaven unless you learn from a little child. And so the way that Johnny, the movement in response to worship, Woods' questions that we would learn something from kids and from that to enter the kingdom of heaven. So I'm not normally here on a Sunday morning. I'm normally at our Aldergrove campus. So what I want to do is I want to try something. And for the next 5 or so minutes, we are off script. We don't know what will happen. So what I'm going to do is in a minute, I'm going to invite up kids. So if you're a kid kind of between kindergarten and grade 5, I haven't chosen the kids. We don't know what's going to happen. If you would like to come up here, not yet, but if you would like to come up, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and we're going to have just a chat, a conversation. It's something I like to call talking to kids. So if you are a kid between kindergarten and grade 5, if you are okay to maybe answer just a couple questions, you can think about it. You don't have to answer every question. You don't have to answer right away. But I would love 4, 5, 6 kids, if you want to just come up now. We got 1, 2, 3. Excellent. I'm going to move this out of the way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's it. All right, if you guys can kind of stand up here so we can see everyone. Now, something you might not know about me is that I get nervous almost every single week when I preach. And so maybe for you, you're nervous as well. So just take a breath, just go. You look calm. And let's welcome them up here. Okay. So what we're going to do, I don't want to block anyone, but we'll do our best. We'll figure it out. I'm not missing. Oh, yes. Well, there is. Okay. Great. I want to make sure I'm not missing anyone. So I'm going to ask a question. And when I know you have something to say, I'll come and bring the mic to you, okay? The way that I will know you have something to say is if your hand goes like this. Okay? So we're going to practice. What is 2 plus 2? Now, the way I noticed is I could see the hand up. So what's 2 plus 2?
4.
Absolutely incredible. So if you can just tell us really quick your first name and what grade you're in. So what's your name?
Elijah.
Great. What grade are you in?
Grade 2.
I love grade 2.
Cassie, grade 4.
Oh, that's good.
My name is Layla, and I'm in grade 5.
Okay.
Luke, grade 3.
Okay. And what's your name? We'll come back to you. So just, what's your name?
My name is Jackson. I'm in grade 3.
Okay. And what's your name?
My name is Tadia. I'm in kindergarten.
I love it. Okay. So that wasn't all the questions. Okay. So not everyone has to answer every question. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a question, and if you have an answer, just raise your hand. So I might not get to everyone every time, okay? So just to warm up, what's something about Christmas that you like? What's something about Christmas that you like? We'll come back to you. What's something about Christmas that you like?
Giving Santa cookies.
Okay, giving Santa cookies.
Snowball fights.
Snowball fights? Do you have your idea?
Getting the Christmas tree, decorating it, and decorating the house.
Okay, awesome. What's something about Christmas you like?
Baking cookies with my sister.
Okay. Do you have any cookies with you right now?
No. I like opening presents.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. So, whoa. So now we have a question. This is going to be a tougher question. What is something that took longer than you thought? What's something that took longer than you thought? Hey, what's something that took longer than you thought?
Christmas.
Christmas. Yes, it's always a countdown. Anyone else? What's something that took longer than you thought? Yes.
January. I feel like it's always taking so long.
January?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyone else? What's something that took longer than you thought? Okay.
School.
That's fair. How does it feel to wait for something that takes a long time? How does it feel to wait for something?
Way too long.
Way too long, absolutely.
Frustrating,
yes.
Boring.
These are great words. We need to remember all this is going to come into play later. Okay. This might be maybe a bit of a sadder question, but have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever felt like things were bad and you didn't know if they would get better?
When I broke my arm, I didn't know if it would get better.
Okay. So you broke your arm, and that took a long time. Yeah. Time you were discouraged.
When my brother broke his toe, we went to the Extreme Air Park, and he's broke his toe.
Okay. Yes, Extreme Air Park. There's a lot of broken bones there. Okay. Let's see. What is something that you want to happen, but it hasn't happened yet? What is something you want to have happen that hasn't happened yet? Yeah.
No school for the rest of my life.
No school for the rest of your life. So good news, school ends, but school gets replaced by something called work. So it's mixed. Yes. Christmas, absolutely.
I forgot.
Okay, if you think of it, you let me know. Okay. All right, just a couple last questions. What advice would you give to someone who is discouraged? What advice would you give to someone who's discouraged? I want... Something that you've had to wait...
Getting a third dog.
A third dog? Merry Christmas, yeah. Okay. And what advice would you give to someone who's discouraged? This one's a trickier one. What advice would you give to someone who's discouraged? If someone came to you and said, I'm really sad and I don't know if things will get better. Maybe they have a broken toe or a broken arm. Maybe they're stuck in school and it's taking a really long time. What advice would you give them? How would you help them get through? What'd you guys do to get through? Okay.
Try and play with more friends.
More friends. Okay. Wait, did I see a hand over here? Yes.
I forgot.
We'll come back to you, Dorian. Yep. Do you have an idea? Any advice that you would give to someone?
I'm making my grandma get a third puppy. I mean, chihuahua.
Okay, you could ask your mom to get a chihuahua. Yeah. What advice?
Grandma.
Your grandma, sorry.
If you want to leave school, just say it's almost over.
Okay, so to look forward. Okay. Don't worry. Just take a second. Okay. While you think about that last question, I'm going to ask everyone this question. Who is someone you trust? Okay. I'm going to ask everyone, so just give it some thought. I'll come to you. Who is someone you trust that if they say something, you can believe it? Who's someone you trust?
My best friend, Riker.
I love it. Who's someone you can trust?
My dogs.
Okay.
God.
Okay. Who can you trust?
God.
Okay. Is there someone you trust that you always believe that you know will always do what they say? Is there someone you can think of? Maybe a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister? A teacher? Give it some thought.
God.
Okay. Is there someone that you can trust?
My parents.
Your parents. Okay.
Can I tell them my question now?
Yeah. All right. And the very last one.
Give a card to my friend because she's leaving from town.
Okay, so give a card to someone. Okay. That's amazing. Thank you, kids. Now, just hang on one second. If these are yours, just give a wave. It's actually surprisingly hard to find your spot again. So you guys can go back. Thank you very much. That was super helpful. So today, if you could kind of picture and piece it through the questions, we're talking about hope. Things that take longer than you expect. Times that we're discouraged. When something that you hope is going to be better than it is, maybe something that we're getting ready for. And the importance of things like friends. The importance of words of encouragement as you write a card for someone. Of spending time with people. Even the simple comfort of pets. And so we're talking about hope. Because hope is one of those things that you only have hope when you don't have something else. You only have hope when you don't have something else. See, hope, the way that we use hope, is it's often a bit of a tricky word. When we use the word hope, usually what we mean is something I want, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So I hope it's sunny. Well, I haven't, these doors are dark. Is it still sunny outside? Great. I hoped it was, but I had no control over that. It was just something I wanted. Or you could say, I hope I don't get sick. I can't control that, but it's something I want. Or I hope my recital goes well. I hope my game goes well. You can't control that, but it's just something you want. See, often when we use the word hope, what we mean is, I want this, but I can't control it. Or I want it, and I don't know if it's going to happen. So that's how we use the word hope. But the way that the Bible uses hope is almost, it's not completely different. There are some similarities. Hope still is things you want, things you need, but it's much more about who you're trusting to see it happen and much less about what you're hoping for. Does that make sense? Like, we want things, and so we use hope. But in the Bible, hope is less about what you want and more about who you're trusting. See, hope is more about the who than it is the what. Hope and trust are completely connected. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says that the hope that God gives us does not put us to shame. It doesn't embarrass us. It doesn't disappoint us. Now, I haven't always lived in Langley. I grew up in Edmonton and lived in a couple different places. So my wife and son and I moved to Langley about 14 years ago. And when we moved here, we're like, well, we want to be tourists. So we go to the festivals, we go to the mountains, we go to the lakes. And we kind of lived in the Murrayville area. So one day we woke up and we thought, let's go to the lake. Let's go to a lake day. And we were going to go to a lake we'd never been. So we loaded up our swim trunks and a picnic and our beach towels. We got in the car and we drove to Aldergrove Lake Regional Park. Now, what's the problem with Aldergrove Lake Regional Park? There's no lake at Aldergrove Lake Regional Park. They have since renamed it. But when we went, it was not yet renamed. We show up with swim trunks in a forest and a field. And our hope embarrassed us. Our hope let us down. Our hope disappointed because we thought for some weird reason, Aldergrove Lake Regional Park would have a lake. But it didn't. And so hope like that disappoints, but hope from God, it does not disappoint. It does not embarrass. It does not put to shame. There's something that we can lean on. In Hebrews 6:19, it says that God's hope is an anchor for our souls. So if you imagine a boat being thrown back and forth with tides and storms and waves, but you drop an anchor and all of a sudden that boat is much more secure. And the Bible says that God's hope is an anchor for our souls, that when things get tough, when the waves hit, that it actually holds us secure. It holds us steady. It's not dependent on what's happening, but it's a deeper truth. See, God's hope, we don't worry whether he's going to do what he said. We just wonder when or how. So with God's hope, we don't worry whether God is going to do what he said he will do. We will only wonder when. So today we're going to look at part of the Christmas story. A man named Simeon had this kind of hope. And so I am going to invite up two friends, Amelia and Ezra. And they're going to come and they're going to read the verse for us this morning. Now, as they read, I would encourage you. Yeah, you guys can come on up. I would encourage you to listen. This is our scripture passage for this morning. So to listen, what will the Holy Spirit say to you? What sticks out? And so who's going first? All right.
Luke 2, verse 22 to 35. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Thank you.
This is the word of the Lord. So what sticks out to you from what Amelia and Ezra read? What popped out? What comes to mind? What do you notice? For me, Simeon only appears for a short time in the Bible. This is everything we know about him. And so we get this short picture of his life, but three things stick out very clearly to me. Number one, Simeon was someone who lived in the presence of God. It says in verse 25, that the Holy Spirit was with him. You know the pirates who have the parrot on their shoulder and they walk around and the parrot's with them wherever they go? That was kind of like the Holy Spirit for Simeon. As Simeon wakes up, there's the Holy Spirit. Simeon has breakfast, Holy Spirit's with him. Simeon goes for a walk, there's the Holy Spirit. He lives with the Holy Spirit in an awareness of the presence of God. Secondly, he listened to the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 26 that God had promised him that he would not die until he met the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. Now, did you know that we can learn to hear the voice of God? That actually Jesus promises it. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me because they can hear me." So we can learn to hear God's voice. We can learn to hear his promises. And part of that's in his word, and part of that is through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So Simeon received this promise because he listened. Now, I think it's beautiful, and I think it's wonderful, and I think it's weird. If someone here came up to you today and they said, "Hey, can I share something with you? God told me I'm not going to die until I meet the most famous baby in the world." We'd be like, "Oh, I have to go. But thank you." Like, that's weird. It's strange. I feel like I would be unsure about a person like that, but it's also beautiful and wonderful because it's true that the Holy Spirit gave Simeon this promise and he held on to it. And third, he was led by the Holy Spirit. He woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, Simeon, today's the day. Head to the temple. Look for the child. Today's the day that the promise will be fulfilled." So Simeon, he lived with the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Holy Spirit. See, so much of Simeon's hope is wrapped up a little bit less in what was promised and a little bit more in who promised it. It was less the who and more the what. See, God, when God gives a promise, we don't have to worry whether he will keep it. We might only wonder when or how. And if you have never heard this before, then like a light in the darkness, may it just go deep in our souls that there is hope, that there is a hope that does not disappoint, that there is a hope that is an anchor for our souls, that the hope that God gives us, it is a sure and firm foundation, that we do not have to wonder whether God will keep his promise. We can trust him. He won't embarrass us. His hope will never let us down. But John, you may say, "I have been let down. I have hoped. I have believed. And what I feel like God has said to me, it actually hasn't happened. And so what's the deal? You tell me that God's hope never disappoints, but I have been disappointed. How can you say that?" Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but has anyone here ever felt like God has let you down? Have you ever felt disappointed? Some may have. Some may have not. I know for me, I have. There's been times and seasons where I feel like God has let me down. And it might be true for you today that now or at some point in the past, you feel like God has let you down. And it might be that you're simply living in the middle. See, you only ever have hope until the hope is fulfilled. Once the hope is fulfilled, hope disappears, because who hopes for what they already have? Right now, does anyone hope today is Sunday? No, it's already Sunday. If you hoped that today was Sunday, it's been fulfilled. Now your hope is gone. You're just confident. And so you only have hope when the promise isn't fulfilled. And so it might be that you're in the middle, that you're in the not yet. How many years did Simeon wait for Jesus to show up? We don't know, but I personally think it was a long time. I wonder if there were days that Simeon went to the temple and he's like, is this the baby? Is this the time? God, did I get it right? Did I hear you? Is this right? Could you just confirm what I'm looking for? See, we don't have that in the Bible, but I wonder if Simeon had these kinds of days in the middle of the not yet, where all he had was hope. See, hope is what exists until we receive the thing that's promised. Hope is in the middle. Hope is always in the absence of the promise fulfilled. And so it might be so far today that you are just in the messy, the middle, the in-between. It's just not yet. But maybe for you today, it's too late for not yet. And when you hear hope, when you hear God's promise, when you hear this idea that it's reliable, you might say, it's actually too late for me. The person that I love didn't get better. I've been out of work for so long that I'm desolate. This person that I trusted, they hurt me instead of helping me. So why didn't God keep his promise? And we feel let down. Because if God promised this and my experience was this, how do we hold both of those? And this is one of the biggest questions we have. It's one of the biggest questions we wrestle with, is how do we walk through life when it seems like what God has promised and what we're experiencing are two different things? And in this, I don't have answers, but what I have is a response, and the response is lament. Lament is where we acknowledge the difference in our lives between the promise and our experience. And we say, God, this is what you have promised, and this is my life, and why are they different? And it's okay to bring these honest questions to God, to say, this is unfair, this hurts, I feel let down. So we just get this small glimpse of Simeon, this almost perfect faith that he lived with God, he received the promise, he shows up, the promise is fulfilled, and we're like, wow, that's amazing. And you hear this and you're like, well, maybe my life's not quite so clean and straightforward. Well, for you, Psalm 44 might be the psalm for you. Psalm 44 is the people of God saying to God, God, listen, we trusted you, and our life is a mess, and it feels like you're not showing up. Actually, it seems like you're asleep, so where are you? Wake up. Come and help us, God. Like, do what you have said you would do. And this is lament, where we say, God, I feel like your promise and my life are different, and we bring that to God. And by talking to him, by having that difficult conversation, it actually, in a funny roundabout way, actually builds our connection. It deepens our trust with God. That hope is less about what you're hoping and who you're hoping in, who you trust. So it might be that you're in the middle. It might be that you're lamenting. And it might be that the hope you're holding on to, the hope that you're hoping for, is actually no hope at all. Maybe it's off-brand hope, or discount hope, or Temu hope. You thought it was hope when you ordered it, but it showed up and it's very different. And so this kind of hope that we think is God's hope, but it's actually different, it might be that we have confused God's promises for what we want. That, as Nasser and Sarah said, that hope isn't a wish, that we just make wishes for God to grant. See, the trouble with prayers that only go one direction is we send up everything we want and then we walk away and we forget that we actually have to listen and say, God, am I praying for, am I hoping in, am I trusting for what you have promised, or is it just my wish list? If you've applied for a job or asked someone out or tried out for a team and it hasn't worked out, you might feel that same feeling where you feel devastated and you can't see a way forward and you actually say, God, why have you let me down? Why didn't you keep your promise? And for me, in situations like that, it's actually been hindsight that after a little bit of time, I realized that it wasn't necessarily God's promise for any of those things. It was just that I wanted them. And I was disappointed when it didn't happen. And it's okay. It's okay for those things to be disappointing, but it's important we understand the difference between what we want and what God has promised. Or it might be that our hope isn't actually anchored in God. So I'm a pastor. Part of what I do is preach, so I'm at work right now. Thank you for coming to work to visit me. And after a Sunday morning like this, I get extremely thirsty. So this is just water. I just get thirsty. My throat gets dry. So sometimes after church on Sunday, my wife, Emily, my son, and I will go out for lunch. And Emily will say, where do you want to eat? And I will say, I don't care where we eat. I don't care about the food. I need to drink, and I want to drink a lot. And I love pop. So I know I'm a grown-up, but I love pop. And the problem with going to a restaurant that has a server is that they're slow to refill your drink. And if they refill it, so many places only give you 2 refills. And that's not enough. And it's not soon enough. And so what I say to my wife is, I don't care where we eat. I want to go to a place where I can fill my own cup. Because then I get as much as I want, as soon as I want it. I want 4 or 5 or 6 glasses of pop. My record is 12. It's not good for you. But I like it. And sometimes when we hope for something from God, what we say to God, it's a combination of fear and pride to say, I don't know if you're going to give me all that I need and as soon as I want it. And so instead of trusting you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a way that I do it all myself. I'm going to get as much as I want as fast as I can, because I don't know if you're actually going to be able to meet my needs. And so what we do then is we actually make the foundation of our hope ourselves. And we've anchored the boat to itself. But a boat anchored to itself, actually, it doesn't do anything. And so if what we feel like we need is money, and we pursue the job, and we cut the corners, and we count every penny, and we value life's experience by its cost, and we feel as secure as the money in our bank account, it actually, that is not hope fulfilled. That will let us down. If we feel like what we need is love, and we don't know if God's going to be able to do it, we might let our boundaries slip. We please people. We'll exaggerate. We'll brag. We'll do anything to impress. We will do something that someone else wants, even if we don't want to, and we only feel as loved as our likes. Or maybe it's significance, and we need the promotion or the degree. We need the accomplishment or the contract. We need our name on it. We need to have the rank. We got to be number one. And we are only as valued as the next accomplishment. But see, all of these things are like a boat anchored to itself. It actually doesn't do us any good. See, our hope needs to be anchored in God. Not just what we want, but in what He has promised. See, I used to think that hope was shiny and flowery. I used to think hope, if I had to describe it as something, I would describe it like the tooth fairy. Pink tutu, nice wand, brings you money. But like kind of like nice and pleasant and whatever else. And I would say that over the past years, hope has changed. Hope doesn't look like the tooth fairy in my imagination anymore. Hope looks like a boxer who's losing. Hope's got a black eye. Hope's missing a tooth. Hope's bruised and bloody and bleeding. And hope's been knocked down, but hope stands up and says, let's keep going. See, hope exists in the middle. Hope's got to fight. Hope is going to struggle. And hope doesn't look like the tooth fairy for me anymore. Hope looks like a fighter. So I know that we had one Advent video this morning, but we're actually going to play a second one. And this one's from a couple years ago. And so, Scott, if you can throw the video up there, please. My name is John, and I'm the Associate Pastor of the Aldergrove Campus.
Hi everyone, my name is Emily.
And today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the Sunday of hope, where we remember that Jesus is our hope. Now hope, I think, is a little bit like light. You see it best when things get dark. And this past January, like a lot of people, our whole family got COVID. But while the rest of our family got better, my COVID stuck around. And for the last 10 months, I've been dealing with its after effects. Memory issues, brain fog, dizziness, vertigo, for a while even stroke-like symptoms and pretty bad chronic fatigue. There has been so many things that I've been unable to do, and sometimes it's gotten pretty dark. But my understanding of hope has shifted this year.
It's gone from a nice idea or a sparkly word you put up on the wall, and it's become a lot more like the seatbelt you hold on to when the airplane's going through turbulence. It's more like a life raft in the middle of a storm. It's been the thing I have held on to with a death grip, not always successfully, but when the things seem to be at their worst.
This year has been a really difficult season for our family. There were times when I personally felt utterly hopeless when I looked at all that our family had lost. The things that we used to do together and our capacity to hang out with family and friends has really shifted in this past year. Personally, I've struggled pretty bad with anxiety, and that impacts my life on a daily basis. If I'm honest, there are still days that I struggle to have hope that things will get better. We have seen incremental improvement in John's health, and I'm really grateful for that, but it's been really slow and there's been a lot of setbacks along the way. Honestly, when Pastor Corey first asked us to share about hope, it felt like a bit of a struggle. I don't totally feel like we're on the other end of our story yet. We haven't reached our happy ending. But then as I reflected, I realized that maybe that's the truest essence of hope. Is that longing and yearning and believing for something that hasn't totally been fulfilled yet. Though this year has had some really dark moments, it has pushed me to cry out to Jesus with desperation and a hunger more than ever before. And on those darkest days, Jesus has met me and sat with me in the mess, and slowly he has grown hope in my heart. Every day I'm staking my life on the fact that my hope in Jesus will not be disappointed, and that his call on the life of our family isn't finished. This Advent, I feel that longing for a savior, a deliverer, and a king in a truer and a deeper way than I have before. In Advent, we exist in this tension of knowing the end of the story, but entering into the waiting and the longing, the hoping that Jesus will come and be Emmanuel, God with us.
So that was 3 years ago. And so that has been my journey. I'm better, but I'm not better. I would say 80% of me is 100% better. There's still things I can't do. I can't run. I used to love playing ball hockey, and I can't do that anymore. If my heart rate gets too high, I just get leveled. And so I've had to grieve the loss of what I can't do while also seeing what God is at work doing. 4 weeks after we filmed this video, we had a couple members of the prayer team come to our house and pray with us. And it wasn't like flicking a light switch, but it was like exiting the highway. And it was just, since that moment, there has been significant, steady improvement. And I'm just so thankful. But there's still part of me I haven't had restored. And 3 weeks ago, my wife and I, Emily, were at a pastor spouse retreat. And there was someone there, and we broke into groups to pray. And the person in our group, she looked at me, and I was wearing running shoes, and she was British, and she called them trainers. And she's like, "I can see you have trainers on." I'm like, "Oh." And she said, I feel like God wants you to run. And she did not know my story. And I started to sob because I didn't know how much it hurt to have had to have given up on that. And as soon as she said that, I thought, maybe I'm going to get to run again. Maybe I'm going to have some of this stuff restored. And almost immediately, I was hit with fear of what if I got it wrong? What if God doesn't do this? What if I've misunderstood? What if this isn't God? And this hope and the fear existed side by side. And if you've ever had a promise from God, you might know that feeling of you want to lean in, but you're afraid of getting hurt. You're afraid it won't work out. And so I stand here as someone who is broken and hopeful, and I'm not sure, and I haven't run since then, but I want to trust and believe that God can do this. And even if I misunderstand, I will have not misplaced my trust. God's hope is an anchor for our souls. It does not disappoint. And so for you, where are you at on your journey? How is your hope? What is the thing you are waiting for? What is the thing you haven't seen? Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's a family member who's struggling. Maybe it's your health or wondering if you're going to have enough. Maybe it's this deep feeling of brokenness that you wonder if you're ever going to be able to get out of the darkness. And let me tell you, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the future holds. But the older I get, the more I learn to trust God, the less I'm concerned about what it is, and the more I am rock solid sure that God will not disappoint. I don't know what the future holds, but I can say that God's hope is a firm foundation for our soul. that he does not disappoint. So if you don't know Jesus here this morning, let me introduce you. This baby that we talked about was born a perfect baby. He grew up. He died a sinless man on the cross. And when he did that, he paid the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again, defeating the power of death. And this amazing thing is that when we believe it's true that Jesus invites us into a new life, to lay down our sin, to learn from him how to be like him. And there's hope. There is joy, there is love, there is peace, but it's found in Jesus. And so if you don't know Jesus, we have a prayer team. There's people here who would love to introduce you. And maybe for you, you know Jesus, but you're wrestling with your hope. If you're wrestling with your hope, I would encourage you to take a prayerful moment of reflection and say, are you hoping for your wish list? Are you trusting yourself, or are you anchored in God? Are you believing his promises? See, Simeon had this beautiful way of life where he was with the Holy Spirit. He lived with the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5, Paul unpacks that same kind of life for us. And so I think hope in God is so closely tied to a relationship with him that hope and trust, you can't peel them apart. And so what does it look like for you to live life with the Holy Spirit? In step 11 of the Freedom Series, we talked about growing in our conscious awareness of God. Are you aware of God's presence right now? Of listening to him, what was the last thing that God said to you? What is he saying to you now? And are you being led by the Holy Spirit? The only reason that hope hasn't been fulfilled yet is that it hasn't been fulfilled yet. So for Simeon, he lived however much of his life without meeting Jesus. Until he did. And what if today is the day? What if it's not today, but maybe tomorrow? What if that hope is just around the corner? And maybe for you, there's been a lot of tomorrows and you're weary, and that's okay. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. Just tell God, say, God, I am exhausted. I'm broken. I'm on the edge of giving up. And he gives strength to the weary. And maybe for you, you're in that season of lament and it feels too late for not yet, and you have hoped and prayed and done all you can and still things turned out differently. Again, we would love to pray with you, to pray for you. And if not, just be honest with God and say, God, I feel let down. I feel disappointed. And so whether your hope just needs that strengthening, whether you need someone to lament with you, or maybe it's just entering into a conversation of the Holy Spirit, there is hope this morning. Hope that does not disappoint. Hope that shines like a light in the darkness. Hope that is a firm anchor for our souls. Would you join me in prayer? So Jesus, I pray that you would show us what it means to anchor our hope to you. Holy Spirit, reveal to us where we're trusting ourselves, where we're just praying a wish list. And if we are in a season of lament, God, would you give us the faith to come to you with honesty? And as we do, would we encounter you? And so we thank you for this reminder of hope. And we pray this in your name. Amen.